Of course, today in most churches is Christmas Sunday. And this is the Christmas season, of course, and we hear a lot about certain aspects of the Scriptures. The song that we sang just before I got up here I thought was very pertinent. It was, "We Have a Story to Tell to the Nations." The story that gets told generally around Christmas time is only part of the story. Well, let's turn to this story in Luke chapter 2. We'll begin at verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." So we have the story of Jesus' birth, the proclamation of a king that is to be born, and a proclamation of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. So that is the subject of this morning's sermon, is peace on earth and goodwill towards men. That's about as far as it gets. Generally that means, well, let's just be nice to each other this time of year. The rest of the story is, how does this Son of God, this king that was born, bring about peace on this earth? It's interesting, when we look through history, the practices that have taken place, let's say on Christmas Day. If you go back 90 years ago, or probably a little bit farther, 92, 93, during what was called the Great War, the war to end all wars, the First World War, obviously didn't end all wars. On Christmas Day, the world was probably pricked a little bit in their hearts. And both sides, the Allies and their enemies, laid down their arms for that particular day, and even at times under a flag of truce, walked across what was known as no man's land to exchange small tokens, small gifts. And then the next day they went back to fighting each other. So what is the rest of the story? Let's turn back to Isaiah 9, another famous text that is read during this holiday season. And we'll look at verse 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it, with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So we see here that this child that was to be born was going to establish peace that was unending. It wasn't just for the day that he was born. It wasn't a limited time of peace. His government was to increase, and so was the peace of that government, and there would be no end. And he was to sit upon the throne of his father David. From here, let's go to Zechariah 9. And starting at verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." When Jesus came the first time, he did come as a child and grew to be an adult and claimed to be the king. However, at his first coming, he was lowly. He came riding into Jerusalem the week before he died, riding on a donkey, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. As a king, that is generally not the mode of transportation. A king generally rides in to take his kingdom by riding in on a white horse. Signifies who he is, taking control of the city. Jesus came first as a lowly servant. But in verse 9, we see something different. Or verse 10, it says, "And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth." So obviously Jesus, when he rode into Jerusalem, didn't receive that part of the kingdom. He was killed a week later. But here in verse 10, we see that the chariot will be broken, the bow shall be broken, and he will establish peace. Those are actions that he must do. Now the rest of the story, let's turn to Revelation chapter 5. Actually, before we go to Revelation 5, I'd like to go back to Genesis 49. That'll give us a little bit more groundwork for this particular text. Genesis 49, verses 10 and 11. And here we have Jacob giving a blessing to each one of his 12 sons. And to his son named Judah, he gives this blessing in verse 8. "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choicest vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk." What we see here is that the kingly line was to stem from Judah. And Jesus, of course, is a descendant of Judah. So he had the right to sit on the throne. But Judah was to be a lion's whelp, a lion, one that will take control. A lion attacks and devours. The idea that his garments shall be washed in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes shows that he is a warrior to some degree. However, when we look back in verse 10, it says that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The word Shiloh there has to do with tranquility, with peace. Jesus would be the last king of Judah, the one to establish peace, and to do so firmly. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 5 and start with verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are in the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down, and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. Now in this text, there are many things that pertain to this particular subject. Jesus is a lamb and he is a lion. He is going to receive this kingdom, and it isn't necessarily going to be, he's just going to show up and it will be handed to him peacefully. He is going to take it as a lion. Also, as we look down through here, it also says in verse 9 that Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And if we hold our finger here and turn back to Luke chapter 2, one of the things that the angel said was that, Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And here we see that it is to all people. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation can be redeemed by this lamb, by this lion that will come and to establish his kingdom. In verse 10 it says, Hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Very specific. And in verse 13, every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, give honor unto that king. There is nobody that is excluded, whether they're man or beast. That would bring about a time of peace if everyone had respect to the ruler. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 2, starting at verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. A truce won't be called for just one day, or for a week, or for a a period of years. It'll be forever. The nations, when Jesus comes to take his kingdom and to rule out of Zion, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and they will not learn war anymore. Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Here we have a reference to the temple that resided in Jerusalem. The temple that was built by Solomon was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and Zerubbabel rebuilt it, and it lasted until the time that the Romans came in 70 AD and destroyed it. But God says that out of this place will he give peace. And if we turn to Zechariah chapter 6, we will see that sure enough, there will be a temple there in Jerusalem, built once again, and out of it shall come peace. And if we look at Zechariah 6 and look down at verses 12 and 13, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. The unique situation that we have in Jesus is, out of Judah was to come this lion, but out of Levi was to come the priest. But what we have here is we have a king-priest title for Jesus. That is his role. And he builds the temple, and he rules as king, and between those two functions is the council of peace. He is in control of the spiritual aspects of the kingdom as well as the political part of the kingdom. Now let's turn to Psalm 37. And David gives us a glimpse of what the righteous will inherit in this kingdom. We're going to go ahead and start with verse 1. And I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter because it is full of a picture of this time of peace and reward for the righteous. In verse 1 it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and withereth as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to say, such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked boweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passeth away, and lo, he is not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for to the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. There is so much in that text that deals with our day-to-day lives, deals with the future promise of the inheritance of the land, and of a time of peace. But it keeps reminding us to always to do the right thing, to be able to inherit that day of peace, to inherit the land. But we have to realize that when that day of peace comes, when Jesus comes, it isn't going to be a day of peace for the nations when he takes over his kingdom. The world recites the story about how Jesus brings in peace, and how a particular day of the year we are to remind ourselves of that idea and concept. But what we do not hear is how Jesus brings about that peace. And it is clear what the scriptures say and how he accomplishes that. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, and starting at verse 1. But of the times and on the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. No, we should be aware of what the scriptures say and always be on alert, always watching for when he returns. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. The world at times falls into a false sense of security, a false sense of peace. We actually live in a very peaceful country for the most part. We have not had to see armies come through our towns and ravage where we live, as most of the rest of the world has in the last 100 years. That can give us a false sense of security. And the places in the world, they say, oh, we have come to an agreement. We have established peace. We have a document that shows it. We have taken a vote in the United Nations to establish peace. The world can cry peace and safety. But for those that aren't watching, sudden destruction will come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, as a thief in the night. We shouldn't be so. We should keep our minds in tune with what God has foretold would happen and keep those things in remembrance and share them with those that are around us, that they too might have a place in that kingdom, a place where there will be abundance of peace. Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things. And in verse 20, our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation comes from a word that has to do with politics. Our politics are in heaven, waiting for the coming king to establish his peace on this earth, knowing that he will be able to change our body like unto his glorious body, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. All nations, all people, every creature, whether it's on land, under the earth, in the sea, or in the heavens, will be under his authority. And that will establish the time of peace. And we sang song number 236, We Have a Story to Tell to the Nations. And we sang a story of mercy, a story of peace and light, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and the sword. Darkness shall turn to dawning, and Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. And I think it would be nice to sing that song one more time, since we've been reminded what the scriptures say about that particular song.
Let's stand, please.
We have a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and
spirit and sword, and shadow.
Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us this time to gather together to worship you and your Son, and to think upon the coming kingdom and the plan of salvation that you have for those that will follow after your Son, and the time of abundance of peace that will happen after he establishes his kingdom. We pray, Lord, that you will be with us throughout the rest of this week, that you'll help us to take this message to the rest of those that are around us, to the nations, that they too might be awakened to what is coming. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.